And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a winning edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Marcus Thompson is here. This is probably going to be quick, swift, get right to it. Warriors beat the Los Angeles Clippers 121-114.
It's the Clippers, man. They almost slipped up there.
They play them two more times in the next, like, I don't know, 10 days or so. This was impressive in the sense of no Gary Payton the second, who's going to be out a while. No Chris Paul, who's going to be out a little bit of time. No Andrew Wiggins, who slammed his hand in a car door. His ring finger on his right hand's hurt, jammed, and he was out. That's supposed to be short term. But, you know, those are three of their best players. And without them, they beat a Clippers team who blew out the Kings the night before. Now, the Clippers were not impressive at all to me.
No.
But
back-to-back, end of a long road trip, you know.
But good performance. Like, focused performance by the Warriors, clean. Steve Kerr called it a couple times. Seven turnovers, kept the fouls down. They just needed it, and they got it.
It's a good win. Where they are, you can't turn your nose up at any win. It is, if there's an alarm, it's they cannot hold a lead. Like, they cannot turn a corner and put a team away. Which is so weird.
They can't blow anybody up.
No, they can't. Like, and maybe that's how it's going to be. Maybe, you know, it's just very clear. Like, Steph said it after the Sacramento Kings game. Like, the way the roster's constructed, we need everybody, right? The way when some people are not there, it's a little dicey. So,
well, what's interesting is it does feel like maybe more in years past, like, you know, you missed three guys tonight. And the rotation doesn't feel as thin as it might have been years past.
Yeah, no question.
Where it does feel like, you know, anybody that does play has to, like, kind of play a certain role, and the top level of this team is not there. But, look, you ping away Wiggins, Payton, and Kuminga tonight, and it isn't Ty Jerome, Anthony Lamb, you know, Jermichael Green. It's Brandon Pajemski, more Moses Moody minutes, more Jonathan Kuminga minutes, and, like, they, you know, they've been trying to find these guys' minutes.
And that's why it kind of makes sense that they didn't have to, like, step on the gas, pull away from the Clippers thing. Like, because, you know, you got a lot of young guys out there. To me, grand total, though, right, if that's concerning, like, this is exactly what they need. They need these guys to play. And it wasn't ever going to be 80 games for the big guys. You knew you were going to get 15 games from somebody. You know, Steph's time is going to come at some point, you know. But, like, they need these minutes. And you get to see what Pajemski can do. You know, I think he mentioned it, and then Steph mentioned it too. Like, he played 30 minutes. Like, he played 30 minutes tonight. Like, yeah, that's big.
Pajemski, he was, like, 31 minutes tonight. I was like, no. And I looked at the statue. I was like, she's 31. Yeah, Steph looked down at the statue. He was like, woo, 30 minutes.
Yeah. I think that's vital. And, you know, I wrote about this, but these guys are going to force them into some decisions, right? They're gonna force them to make some moves when everybody's healthy, which is a good problem to have. But it's gonna happen. Like, Pajemski on the court, so, you know, Steve is just all about, hey, I need to feel good with you in the game. I know people are talking about Corey Joseph. Why Corey Joseph in the game? You know why? Because Steve feels comfortable with Corey Joseph.
By the way, Steve Kerr not only has played Corey Joseph the last two games, he was tonight like, did you see Corey Joseph the last two games?
Like, he was great. The numbers don't show it, but he was fantastic. It's like, but, like, for Steve, it's a comfort level. And, like, I see it with Pajemski. You feel comfortable with him out there. Like, his defense, I mean, he drew a charge on James Harden 90 feet from the basket.
Yeah, he was talking about it post-game, because I asked him, like, have you always been a charge taker? He's like, yeah, you know, look, like, the athleticism hasn't been there. So this is something he clearly, because this wasn't a tonight thing. Like, every time he's in the game, he's trying to take charges. He got called for a block on a Westbrook one, which he was
outside the restricted area.
Yeah, he was kind of like, but, you know, he'll really kind of go into detail on the plays. But with the Harden one, he was like, yeah, you know, picked him up full court, was getting in his head a little bit, poked at the ball, stabbed at it. Then, you know, he puts the shoulder in and I took it. It's like, I don't know. Like, the weird thing is, you know, when they draft him, draft night, we're here, right? It's like, all right, the shot, maybe if he can get it off. But, like, all the other stuff seems so
kind of weird, right? It's still weird.
Well, the shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. But the other stuff is like so much more advanced than I would have ever imagined. Like, he's like kind of a defensive pest. Like, he is taking like charges from James Harden 90 feet from the hoop. He's getting 8 rebounds, which Draymond Green like specifically mentioned tonight. He has the play that Steve Kerr really notified it. There's a minute left or something like that, and it's like a inbound where the Clippers need a 3. And he's like on Harden, and he navigates around a Paul George pick, and then there's another screen, and he perfectly switches on to Paul George with Moses Moody, gets out, and like he kind of blows up their action, and then it ends up in a turnover. And Kerr mentions it, and not only mentions it, but said, that's why I'm going to have him out there. And
I'm going to have to have him out. He said that out loud. I was like, hey,
in late game situations. Now, he wasn't saying, like, I'm closing.
Take away a 3.
Yes. Yeah. So he wasn't saying, some people might read it and like, oh, is he's now saying he's going to close with
that's what he said. That's what he's saying.
No, he was saying basically, he said,
Steph, sit your butt down. Brandon Pajipsi's coming in.
You know, okay, this is a good example. Oklahoma City is down by 3 with 1.2 seconds left. You know, that's a theoretical situation where maybe a Chet Holmgren might need a 3.
You won't have Chris Paul and Steph Curry in the game. You won't put Pajipsi in.
I'm just saying.
I could see in the future him just suddenly inserting Brandon Pajipsi. That's what he said on the podium tonight.
The other guy, though, who was...
Did you hear Draymond's quote about it, though? Because he was asked, Shayna Rubin from Bang asked Draymond about that play, and he had a long quote about Pajipsi and how he, you know, Draymond, I saw it in the summertime. I was telling my friends he was going to be a rotation player. But then at the end, talking about that specific play, he said, rookies don't blow up plays, they fuck up plays, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was gonna put this in my piece. Talk to Steph about it, you know, in the locker room after the game. Yeah, Steph's best way to explain it, he was just like, man, the dude just, he always makes the right play. I think a part of the excitement about Brandon Pajipsi is directly contrasted to the last first round pick there. Not the last one, the James Wiseman, right? So it's like, they're not saying his name, but the jarring reality of, like, man, this dude makes all the right plays. Man, he plays hard. Like, he knows what he's doing. Like, you could see that in them. But the way Steph explained it best, like, he was like, man, you know what? He was basically like, he would have been a perfect player at Davidson. Like, he would have been great with Bob. Because I was like, that's what Steph was like. You want to understand how smart this guy is, how he plays the right way? He would have been great for Davidson.
Bob McKillop would have loved him on the court, but off the court, McKillop would have been.
He was just like, that's the best way Steph could explain.
Tom Izzo might have liked him, too.
I mean, it's a lot of college
kids. I'm pretty sure he transferred out of Wisconsin.
Illinois, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So Brad Underwood, former Oklahoma State coach, apparently didn't like
him. I'm just saying, Steph's best way to explain to how like smart this guy is, how he can play. He thought, hey man, he'd be a great Davidson player. I was like, Steph ain't been to Davidson, and
he would have looked great in the Currys. Will Brandon? All right, long term question for you: will Brandon Pajipsi be a Curry brand athlete within the next 3 years?
I don't think so. I think he'll go a different direction.
Okay,
could be. I don't know. Just a guess.
But
the other guy that was pivotal tonight was Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, I was actually about to go to him. So one of the plays I will highlight.
Seen a cannon in the building. What's up?
Coming on the pod?
Oh, hey. Why not?
One of the plays I'm going to highlight was, I mean, you mentioned it, but it's at the start of that Klay Thompson 10-point surge at the fourth. Kuminga caught a ball. First of all, he sprints to the corner.
Yes.
Catches the ball, and I mean, he could have taken the 22-footer. He could have faded to the deep corner and had the 3. It was like a dribble handoff, like a pretty smooth, you know, right in rhythm dribble handoff. Gets Klay going. Draymond probably exaggerated a little bit, but he's like, you got him the 10. You all 10 of those points are on you because you got him the shot that got him going. But I just generally, like, it's a play Jonathan Kuminga doesn't usually make.
And it was like he knew to make it. You know, like, he caught that ball. He's like, all right, I'm a jab, pivot, dribble handoff, get Klay to 3. He knew what was going to happen before he caught the ball, which I thought was very advanced. It was, you know what? It was almost like he went to Yale or something.
I talked to the, I clipped it for, you know, I'm writing my post game story. I clipped it and I've like rewound it, like looked at the coaches as it's happening. They're all like, yes, yes. And it's just like, this is what they've been begging him to do. Zita, you talk to him post game. I don't know. Any insight on all that?
Well, he said post game that he's always ready, right? And when you talk to Jonathan Kuminga, all he says is, yeah, no, I'm just ready. You know, he basically doesn't allude to the fact that he's growing and he's making these strides that we're seeing.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. He just like, yeah, this is me, this is me. But that's why I really appreciate Draymond Green calling that out, because you know Draymond knows the game. And so he is able to say that move right there generated something for a teammate versus you just being like, oh, that was great. Like, keep it going, which Jonathan can attribute to like, yeah, I'm just good, right? So being able to call out, no, that is a difference maker in your game versus, yeah, great game tonight. I like that.
I think part of that is like, and they used to do it with Poole when Poole would like have a like box out. They'd be like, what, you know, Steve Kerr, what, that was the greatest box out of it, because they wanted him to do it again. So they needed him to be recognized for it. So he'd be like, oh, like, I don't just get recognized when I score 20 points, when I play defense too. I think it's a little of that of like Kuminga, like we will call out when you do that because, you know, we need you to do that more often.
I don't know, Zena, how much do you think the Moses Moody breakout game in SAC motivated Jonathan Kuminga? Everybody forgot about him.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say that there is, I don't know if it's purposeful or not, but because we keep talking about these third year leaps between Moody and Kuminga, they keep being the kind of dichotomy between the two of them, right? Just being able to say alternating like who the foil against each other, I think more so of like who's doing a great job tonight, who's played better tonight. And the thing about what Moody always brings is hustle. You can't deny that he's always going to bring that. And I'm sure that Kuminga hears that, so he's like, I gotta bring my A game too. And so he showed up.
You know, another play he had tonight was he had a play, it was late third, he had a post up that he got stripped on, and they kicked it up to Westbrook, and he sprinted back and deflected a pass that turned into a turnover. He like basically made up for it, and it's just like, run the floor. Like, he's just running past everybody because he is faster than everybody, but sometimes you don't see it because sometimes he's jogging back. Like, you have a turnover, your head down. Daryl Rod, appreciate that. Best PR man in the game.
Agreed. One of the things that, from watching Jonathan Kuminga in the G League to now, there is a sense of he needs to see the reward in order to consistently do it, right? That was something that he had earlier on in his career. And you're starting to see him be like, oh, no, this is just a part of the game. Let me go do it, regardless of this is benefiting me personally or not. And I like that maturation, I think, in his game.
It helps when the shot falls.
Yeah, but, you know what I mean? But
hit his threes tonight.
Hit his threes tonight, yeah.
He feels better, right? He sprints the floor because he's like, just hit that three. You know, everybody gets a juice in the legs when that happens.
What was it? He took the three. They wiped it away.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was after shot clock. Then he got another one in a similar spot. Not the same court, but in the corner. And he hit it. To me, to me, him and Moody, GP2, I mean, the money on the table for this team, the area they can really, really hurt teams is corner threes. And if he can do that, he doesn't have to do nothing else. I mean, he draws fouls, so that's good. But if he can hit the corner three, it's a game changer. It's everything. Because if Steph is driving, you got to kick it. And, you know, Draymond, GP2,
Well, I mean, you just mentioned his name a couple times, but Gary's going to be out a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know they did the 1 week evaluation. It's, you know, this is a pretty significant, you know, strain, tear, same thing. That's what strains are. There's different grades, but he's, you know,
it's a grade.
You know, I would
strains.
Again, don't quote me on this. Two is what it kind of like, you know, which has a large range. And my understanding, you know, they do the reevaluation to kind of like, because you don't know time, you know, timelines can kind of fluctuate. I do think for a week from now they might know. But the reality is, like, I think we're talking at least a month, you know, three at the weeks at the and low then, side and potentially a lot more.
You got to add the Celebrini factor to it, too.
Yeah, the Celebrini factor, always got to. Wiggins, as I mentioned, slams the finger in the card. I think that'll be short term. Paul will probably be short term. But I'm mostly mentioning this because, like, they've lost their defensive ace off the bench. Kuminga tonight, no fouls, which Steve Kerr mentioned. Guards Kawhi, guards Paul George. Like, he's got to be really good defensively for this team, I think, and then, which means they have to play him.
But I'm more curious about, tonight was a great win and the defense was great and on point, but I want to see Kuminga do that against the OKCs of the world, where the players are of his level of athleticism, are of with his length, with his bounce. You know, I think that when he goes up against, and when these younger players go up against teams that have that springiness to their game, they're more likely to foul because they match it, right? They match with that energy. So it's one thing to do that against Paul George and James Harden and Kawhi and all them, but and Russell, even Russell, that does go in there looking for fouls. I want to see them do this against Portland and OKC.
Hey, man, he has one good night. And Zena's like, yo, man, he did it against old people. It don't even count.
It's a good point, but beyond just that, it's like, but forget about like who he played tonight or who he just needs to do it for 5 straight games, yeah, 10 straight games, yeah. Like, regardless opponent, like, just do it.
But they
the
need
next
him.
Night.
They yeah. need him against the OKCs. They need him against mm-hmm. Minnesota because they don't have the athleticism.
I think we're to the point, especially with this team, which, I mean, it's just, like, really kind of mediocre at this point. Like, they just need him. Like, forget what team. Like, they need him.
In general.
They just if they want to be good, they need Jonathan Kuminga to be good.
He needs to be a go-to the way that GP2 is a go-to. And I want to go back to your point about the corner threes. It's wild how many games that you would finish looking at the shot chart and there's no attempts even. Yeah, like, not even that misses, but just no attempts. And when you think about a player like Stephen Curry and what he does in terms of dribble penetration, or trying to at least, the fact that that is not an option for him is crazy.
Yeah, baseline drive. That's how teams torch them. They kill them with it. Like, they just don't. But I don't think it's the three-pointer that it's the one you should make. Mm. So it's a little bit more pressure packed, right? So I don't think a lot of people want to take it.
Get Kent Bazemore in the building.
Kent Bazemore, you know who's one of my favorite corner 3-point shooters? Yuta Watanabe. If they would have got him, that dude don't be missing, man.
You gave him the two-year minimum. Phoenix was throwing around. Got him Eric Gordon. Got him Watanabe. Got him a lot of guys. Klay Thompson scored 22. I think he finished with. That's four out of five. I mean, it's quiet. But he's kind of like,
I was like, hey, all right, Clay's rolling. I've read your tweet. Like, all right, he's rolling. And somebody in the comments was like, geez, $43 million, the struggle to get 20. I was like, dang, where can a brother just like, can he just live a little? That's crazy.
People are ruthless.
I mean,
it was killed the moment for it. I was like, all right, Clay, I'll see
you. Well, what's interesting, I was talking to somebody kind of around Clay today, and they're mentioning, you know, of course, and this is kind of the common talking point about Clay's struggles from people, like, you know, defending him, is like, he always starts slow, you know, like, this isn't a new thing. We all know that. But their point was like, he usually has the one bust out game, which the Chicago, he made NBA record. He hit 14 threes last year. Was Houston, 41 points. So you're kind of waiting on that to like jumpstart a season, but maybe it's not that. Maybe it is just, hey, he's regular, like, quietly 20, scoring 20 kind of every night. Like, it's not.
But he's got to be cool with that, because to me, that's where it's like, all right, I hit the four tomorrow. He's like, here I come. I've been waiting to tell y'all that, really, like that flex. He's like, yeah, man, I'm here now. Like, to me, if he gets into his mind, yeah, man, just get a solid 20. To me, what was good tonight was his defense, but also he's guarding. You know,
what she mentioned is actually, I think, a lot more important for Clay, because Clay can guard bigger, older, slower.
Yeah, he had Kawhi hemmed up. Yeah. But go ahead, get your take off about old people. Go ahead.
No, that is not what I was going to say. What I was going to say about Clay's game tonight, that I think you're seeing his game evolve. Okay, so the first thing we're saying is like, great, he got 20 or plus, right? The next thing is he's getting 20 plus over 4 quarters. Right? Because he's had a struggle to be able to be consistent. And when you look at what he did in the fourth quarter tonight, it's like, great. You can count on Clay at the end of the game to help you close it out. And I think that that's the next level, is for him to do that consistently, scoring over 4 quarters.
Big shots. You know, that fourth quarter was huge. Draymond's bad. You know, Draymond played well tonight. 2 threes, defended well. And
it's especially important because Looney is not looking good. So like that big in the paint. Like, I mean, you know who was great tonight was Russ. Just because at first they were trapping. You know, they don't have their point of attack defender, so they trap in. But that just puts all this emphasis on rotation and reads and all that. And Pajimski was good with it, too. But Draymond's back there playing quarterback. The only one who was hurting him was Russ was kind of sneaking around, doing a little interior passes. But watching Draymond kind of quarterback, cut this lane off, get back, like, you could see why he's so valuable. Like, that's what they need where – you know, Loon, Saric, they just don't have the quickness to be able to cover all this ground.
Yeah, for sure, defensively. I'd say the most notable substitution of the night was, you see how early they took Looney out in the third? You know, they were bad to start the third. After being bad to close the second, he got Looney out of there quick, went Saric, spread the floor. That's a problem. I think, I'm not saying that like a permanent starting lineup change is coming, but I do think they're leaning more and more towards separating Draymond and Looney because I don't know. It's too. We've had this conversation on this podcast over the last several years, like hundreds of times. And every time you think you can't pair those two together, they're closing a game six in a playoff series with Looney getting 95 rebounds.
The games are different in the playoffs, and I think that fits Looney. It's slower. It's half court, right? Especially tight games. It's possession to possession. That, you know, the best players are on the court, so it's probably somebody big to bang with. And those rebounds mean more. They mean more. But I think the difficulty now is, like, we wouldn't know – like, if they took Looney out, who's starting?
Saric. I think Saric. I think just spreading the floor.
But if you start Saric.
He's also a good passer.
Yeah. Oh, he's like one of the. He might be the second best scorer.
Any defensive issues, though.
Like, no, like but honestly, but also, like, their offense is an issue. They're like, it's about solving an offensive issue. And, like, that is the Looney Draymond problem, is an offensive issue.
Also, you don't have a. I mean, I feel like there's a, like, you could start Kuminga. Like, you could start Moody.
You might go to Pajimski.
Yeah, you might go to Pajimski. But also, but if you start Sarge, who's your second string in the center? You know what I'm saying?
That's the problem.
Kuminga, small ball. Looney's your second string center.
Yeah. Well, one thing.
Looney's your backup center behind Draymond.
I think that the Warriors are going to have a very tough conversation around loyalty versus production.
They aren't going to have. It's been.
You can borrow my line from the piece.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Results over resumes.
Man. Oh, yeah, yes. I love that. That was a really good line. Yes. I was like, what? You didn't say that. I don't mean it.
Oh, that's cold-blooded.
No. But you absolutely did say.
Bars. That's good. All right.
Hey, no one's ever sleeping on your bars, Marcus Thompson. Please. This is why you were nominated what? Nominated who?
We don't speak of awards here.
Here we go. Okay, got it.
We really
Anywho,
don't.
We don't. But the thing about, like, looking at the Looney situation and him continuously being in the starting lineup, because he's had some really questionable games this year. Tonight wasn't the first that he's had some questionable games. You see him playing 17 minutes or whatever, being pulled, being yanked, and Sarge has come in and cleaned up what you said, offensive. And when you think about, for me, the Warriors, when their offense is doing well, I think that translates to their defense more so than their defense translating to their offense. So it is a good question about, if you do start Sarge, loyalty, right? Loyalty to Iron Man Loon.
Well, the one thing is, like, Looney can take it.
He's the best.
It'd be like, all right, for the 98th time, Steve, no problem.
That's conversation. Yeah. He going
the Clay one is
Looney
the,
wouldn't
the,
even Looney would he wouldn't even have to say nothing. Loon, he could just be like, I can tell by how you walking over here what it is. I've seen that walk before, but here's the odd part. If we just go back to October, if we had said you taking Looney out to start lineup, there was one guy who was replacing them. That's what it was all about.
Yeah.
Now he's not that guy.
Yeah.
You gonna really put in somebody else and not that guy? Not CP3.
I mean, this is how seasons are. This is how sports are. I mean, stuff just materialized. I didn't think the season was going to be where it was. I certainly didn't think Pajemski was going to be getting 39 minutes one night and 31 minutes another.
I thought he was going to get 39 minutes one night. I just thought it would be Santa Cruz.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. It's just, I don't know. This is,
I mean,
it's a weird season. But these are what seasons are.
Yeah, I mean, so. It's just a wild thought to think. Yeah, man, we're going to make a change in the start lineup. Hey, CP3, you stay where you at.
Yeah.
That's just a wild thing to think.
But then you have to go small, and it's like every single thing that the Warriors struggled with this year against the teams that were long and bigger and athletic. And CP3 doesn't solve that, right?
None of it.
That's the problem. That's why I'm like, I don't think that makes sense. That's the only reason. But
it also solves the offense problem.
That's what I was thinking too.
Sarge is a healthier, more durable Otto Porter. And
no way. Otto Porter is way better defensively. Do you see what they were doing?
I wouldn't say. I agree he's better. I wouldn't say, like, let's not act like Otto Porter was out here blocking two shots and, like, you know.
They're just like, hey, he's in here. Let's go.
I don't disagree, but Otto Porter started the last three games of the Boston Finals because he stretched the floor against Rob Williams, you know, and Al Horford. This is just a stretch of the floor question. And Klay Thompson, especially when Wiggins is not even not just hitting shots, but when defenses suddenly are okay with him taking shots, they just need somebody out there that scares the defense more. So that's just what it is.
You're right. I'm just wondering. Ooh, that's some tough. A tough conversation shall be had.
Tough conversations need to be had when the record is what it is. So tough. Trust me, last year at this time, it was different type of conversations. But when suddenly Anthony Lamb was playing, 20 minutes a night over younger players, those were tough conversations. But remember, it was just like, we're 3-7. We need to win a game. That was the reasoning. And that's why Ty Jerome was playing, because it was like, they need to beat the Phoenix Suns tonight. And, you know, if...
Interesting.
I don't know. All right. Anything else intrigue y'all from the game, or am I getting
it? What else you got?
I kind of joined mid-pod, so I don't know what you guys already covered. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to repeat.
Yeah, I say she can repeat. I got nothing.
Yeah, no. It was they play the Clippers again.
Oh,
Saturday.
11:30-23. How was it for you?
I mean, I don't know. I think there's a pin right here. I will say that I...
Listen, she's getting all sappy.
Listen, stop it. I'm a Cancer. I'm emotional. But I thought it was really special. Dalton Johnson from NBC Sports Bay Area mentioned that they were in the locker room and that all three of them signed a jersey for the other.
Did they sign
That's
it?
That's so
they
sweet.
Signed it.
You know what, Marcus? No one needs this energy, okay? It was very sweet and sentimental and special. And I like what Draymond said in the post game, because he's right. It was a little morbid, but people get their flowers often when they die, or they get their flowers after they stop playing, right? On the night that they get inducted to the Hall of Fame, that's when people start saying, shout out to you and what you did. But for them to be doing that right now while they played, I thought that was really special.
I was asked pregame, like, something like, you know, are you going to, like, cover, like, 11:23-39? Like, is it going to be important? I said 11:23-30 better play well. On 11:23-39. That's the only way that it. Can you imagine if they lost tonight?
I was going to ask that question. Yeah. That's been the thing that's been in my mind all night, is like when they kept making those runs, right? At the top of the third or in the fourth, I was like, if they're lose tonight, that is the worst stain on the legacy, period. Period. We're celebrating your excellence. It would have felt weird.
Decades from now. No, I mean, my thing is, I'm kind of a
manufacturer.
It was exactly. I'm kind of cold hearted, and like, it's just like, I don't know. This is like the 900th game me and Marcus have got. Like, we understand who these guys are.
Sure.
They trust me. When, you know, in Houston, when you win Game 6, you know, after Durant goes down, or Boston, just that whole Boston series, the Memphis series, like, that is when, like, the greatness has been as tangible to me. This is late November of an NBA season. They improved to 9-10 tonight. I'm not sitting there about to glow poetic tonight. I'm just like, I was like, nice game by Kuminga tonight.
I was like, the art is dope, but where's Brandon Pajimski? I need to talk to him. Like, that's a nice background. I like that.
That's fair. But I think, if anything, the other fan bases would have been like, you lost on your 11:30-23 night. They would have tore up
that's the internet.
The Warriors. Yeah, for sure.
Nothing could have been worse than the Sacramento game. So, you know, that was about as bad as I've seen.
That was real bad.
All right, at Clippers Saturday. Then they get, like, 3 days off and the Blazers at home. It's actually a nice little patch for them.
I'll be watching from Philadelphia, from the Illidale.
Who you got? Niners, Eagles, who you got?
I think the Niners are going to win, but I'm not.
Road favorites. Seems like a surprise.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm not sold on it. Like, I wouldn't put money on it, but I do think they're the better team.
What's the weather going to be?
It's supposed to be rainy.
That's Jalen Hurts weather.
We don't know what kind of – we don't know what that is for Brock. We seen him in the Cleveland game. It was a rainy game. He didn't throw the ball well. So
they better keep Hassan Reddick away from him.
Oh, you think Hassan Reddick will be blocked by a tight end this game? There's no way, buddy. Christian McCaffrey, MVP game. Jalen Hurts is so good, though.
In the rain, too?
I never want to go. That dude is too good.
You see him late in Buffalo in that rain? They did not want to tackle him.
I don't want to tackle him. Yeah, he's... That dude is nice. That dude is nice, but...
It's going to be a good game. I'll be watching. Warriors will be off Sunday after a Saturday game. They're not going to the in-season tournament in Vegas. So, all right. Appreciate y'all. And we'll talk later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for letting me crash, guys. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.